Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where you are just in time for some awesome biblical and spiritual perspectives that deal with the minority experience. As a matter of fact, that is the title of the book that we're going to be speaking from. It is The Minority Experience, Navigating Emotional and Organizational Realities, written by Adrian Pay. He is an awesome man doing excellent organizational development work as a consultant and a leadership trainer. He speaks and writes on cross-cultural dynamics and ethnicity-related topics, and he is an Asian American ministry member of CREW. And Adrian Pay, it is great to have you with us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on your show. It's an honor to talk to you.
I appreciate you, and likewise, thank you so much for joining me to talk about something that is so important to so many people, especially in our current climate in America. The book is again entitled The Minority Experience. I want to ask you something, Adrian, just before we move into the book. In a way, we're going to be touching on it anyway, but only kind of, sort of. I want you to share with us some of your experience as an Asian American growing up as a child. How were things as you moved into your teen years? How was life in your young adult years? How do you compare it to what's going on in life currently?
Yeah, I appreciate the question. Well, I was actually born in the United States, so in New York, actually, and moved around the world a bit when I was younger. So I lived in England and Japan for 3 years. I'm Chinese American, but I've never been to China. So it's an interesting, interesting reality where there's a lot of Asian Americans in this country who have never been to Asia, but were born here in the United States. So a lot of my parents, my father grew up in Japan, my mother grew up in Vietnam, and my mother actually, came over to the United States before the Vietnam War happened. And so she was trying to get out of some of the strife that was happening in the country. So that kind of led for her to come to the United States and how ultimately I ended up being born in the United States. So I kind of grew up with, trying to really just not really being in touch with kind of the Asian parts of my culture, but really trying to kind of fit in here as best I could in the United States. So learn English, just tried to fit in, really. And so I write about that a lot in the book, of just kind of my experiences of trying to fit in and kind of being caught between two worlds, where I was trying to, I love living in this country, and yet trying to figure out who am I as an Asian American, and how do I get in touch with that part of my identity as well.
Did you find that to be any simpler as a child compared to fitting in as an adult? Was it about the same?
I think when I was a kid, I probably felt like it was maybe easier in the sense that I wasn't aware of what was happening. I was just trying to fit in with my friends, playing the sports that everybody was playing, listening to the music that everybody was playing. So I think, the struggles I had were probably more buried under the surface, even though I would see, stereotypes on the TV and would hear some slurs happen here and there, but I just think I suppressed it. And then when I was an adult, I think I started to process it more and think, okay, actually, what are people saying and what does it really mean? And when I hear that, people call me, Yao Ming or something for basketball, is that why does that bother me? That like maybe all Asians look the same or, whatever it may be, or do I really belong in this country? And so I think when I started to process those questions, it started to make me, it was harder because I had to figure out what to do with that. And so in my adult years, that was the process of me figuring out what does it mean to be who I am, and I think this applies to a lot of ethnic minorities, who maybe feel different at times. Mm-hmm. How can I be who I am and be in touch with my family, my community, all the injustices of the past, and still be, part of this country? And so that was what led me to write this book as well.
I tell you what, and that's such a reality for so many people, as you mentioned. In fact, that's one of the elements of your book that I really appreciate as well, the fact that although you're writing primarily about the Asian American experience, you're also speaking to the extent that you're able to, especially when you bring in other people, the experience for other minorities as well. In fact, that's why you don't call the book the Asian American experience. You call it the minority experience.
That's right. And that was really important to me. And I didn't start out that way. I started with my own experience, of course, because I can't authoritatively speak for other people. But at the same time, what I discovered as I was looking at my own story was, you know, I would talk to a lot of friends, you know, other minorities, you know, African American, Latino, Native American, and so on, and find that they were wrestling with a lot of the same challenges. And when I mean that, I mean these emotional challenges of not just, you know, different communication styles and some of the surface level things, but rather the feelings of feeling invisible in a room full of people, feeling like, can I really be who I am, the way I talk, the way I lead, and still be part of this country, or do I have to fit into some kind of a white standard or white mold? And then also feelings of weariness, or just feeling kind of beaten down from, you know, just having to endure certain struggles and being questioned about, you know, who I am and the way I do things. And so a lot of these things I felt were things that a lot of people across different minority groups were experiencing. And then I would research the history books and see a lot of ethnic minority autobiographies. And these are like heroes of mine and pioneers. And I would see them write about similar struggles. And so I figured, you know, maybe I can put these together in certain categories, certain language that we can all relate to. And I feel like it's critical that we, you know, even though we all have our own struggles, that there are things we can come together as one voice and we can be even stronger together. I think it may be critical when we're on the margins to really fight together and fight for the things that are right.
I absolutely agree with you on that, too, because like you say, common struggle. And so why not a common bond that can help us deal with that common struggle? And just before we move into some of the ways that you deal with that, as you share with us some powerful principles and powerful truths in your book, The Minority Experience, I want to ask you one more question about personal experience and how you can see this relating to other people as well, other Asian Americans. Of course, I'm African American, Native Americans, whoever they may be. This whole issue of trying to fit in. And one of the things that we know is a part of this ethnic mixed reality is that there are so many people from amongst the majority community, the white community, who care about what minorities go through and do what they can to at least try to make things better. And they exist alongside of those whose thoughts about us, feelings about us, desires for us are not nearly as noble. I'm curious as to how it impacts you when you think about the fact that there are members of the white community who genuinely care, try to do what they can to make things better, and coexisting with those who really try to make life miserable for us. And then the third part of that, we know that within our various ethnicities, there are people who make the struggle real. How do you pull all that together and make sense of how to navigate emotionally just from that perspective?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's not easy. There's a lot that you shared there. It's a lot of, as you said, there's a lot of different people coming from different places. I think, you know, I think of the body of Christ, right, you know, as a Christian, you know, and I think of 1 Corinthians 12 that talks about the body and how there's a lot of different parts of the body, you know, and I think it's a great analogy that I think of in terms of it talking about, you know, the hand, the foot, parts that are more quote-unquote honorable, those that are seem to be weaker.
Yes.
But I think what I take away from that is that there's a difference between disagreement and division. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that disagreement is the problem. You know, I think, as you said, there are a lot of white people who want to know the minority experience, and they want to come alongside. And that's what the body of Christ should be, you know, people who see it as one and not as many different parts. But there are some that may not agree And I think that's okay that we have disagreement. I just think we can't let it become division. And I think that that's one thing that when we look at that 1 Corinthians 12 passage, you know, it really speaks to that in some ways where, you know, it says, you know, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you, you know, or, you know, when we, it talks about the parts that seem to be weaker, but in fact, God has given those parts greater honor so that the parts should have equal concern for each other. And so if one part suffers, you know, every part suffers with it. When one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. But I feel like that's a beautiful picture of what it would mean to have unity, even if there's disagreement. Because disagreement means that there are different parts, and they look different, and some are stronger and some are weaker than others.
Or,
and God has made it such that those who are on the margins actually, in some ways, have access to even greater things. And so I believe truly that the minority experience gives us strength in ways that we wouldn't have. But, you know, it's in the midst of all that pain that we have to process and go through.
I tell you what, and that pain leads me to taking us right into your book, because in your book, you really help us develop an appreciation for the three P's, pain, power, and the past, which you say significantly impact the minority experience. Could you go into detail with each of those for us?
I'd be happy to. So, yeah, so the way I really framed the book was the minority experience as being really classified in terms of three categories, pain, power, and the past, as you mentioned. So pain meaning that the minority experience is about, it goes deeper than just cultural intelligence or, you know, understanding about a culture on a head knowledge level. It goes deeper to the emotional experiences, like I mentioned, of questioning ourselves and our own value, or feeling like we have to change ourselves to fit in, or, you know, feeling that weariness of being broken down over time. So really, I feel like pain, you know, we have to, you know, be in touch with things that are the emotional experiences that are very much deeper than just understanding something intellectually. And so that was that component. And then power was really about how being a minority is not just about numbers, because I think that, you know, the first thing that a lot of people think of when they think of the word minority is okay, there's one of that person in that ethnicity in that room, so they're in a minority, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that when you think about it, it's more than just numbers. So, you know, even if you looked at it from the standpoint of men and women, right? So, you know, women have been 50% of the population in the United States, and yet, you know, how long did it take for them to get the right to vote? You know, and I could speak the same for other minority groups. You know, they weren't even considered to have a voice in the leadership of this country. And so we know that even despite the numbers, we're not on equal ground. And the same thing for, you know, I think there's like there's a studies that show that, you know, in the generation, ethnic minorities will soon become over 50% of the U.S. population.
Yes, sir.
And I had a white friend actually who said to me, he kind of joked to me and said, you know, soon I'll be answering to you, you know, as a minority. And I kind of understood what he meant, but I also kind of wanted to say, no, it's not the way it works, though, you know, because, you know, I have maybe over 50% of the population. That doesn't mean that we hold the power in terms of who makes rules and the way society is structured and the privileges that they enjoy. And so I kind of, it's not just about numbers. And then finally, the past is really about how I feel like nearly every current reality, or, you know, you see the things that are happening in the news, some really difficult things to see, the injustices. And nearly every current reality or reaction about race today is, I believe, highly impacted by the past and history. So, you know, no matter what you look at, there is a component of it that was influenced by history. Even the fact that we call it the English language, for example, you know, it's not United States or American-ish or what do you want to call it? You know, because England, you know, is the country that colonized so many nations. And so that's why that language is spoken throughout the world. And that's something that had to do many, many years ago, but we still call it English.
Mm-hmm.
And so just something, you know, just looking at that about how the past impacts nearly everything.
And when we look at these three P's, pain, power, past, is there a connection between the three?
I believe so. You know, and I think I believe, you know, it, a lot of the experiences that people have of pain, they come from injustices or abuses of power, mm-hmm. Whether they're intentional or not. And so, I mean, just look at the news today, right? You know, anytime you see a shooting, you know, there's power in terms of the context of what happened there, in terms of why, who did it and why. And that's tied to pain. And I believe the past is also tied in terms of what motivated them to do that. And so I do believe there's a connection between all three, and I explore that in the book as well. Mm-hmm. There is definitely a dynamic there where, you know, you can look at nearly anything that's happening with those three lenses, I believe, that define minority experience. And so I really wanted to write about not ethnicity, but about minority, so that to really call out the difference between the majority and the minority and the power dynamic in a country like the U.S. because, and it's like other countries in the world too, just to really make that difference clear that we're not on equal ground. Because sometimes I feel that in dialogue about race, I've seen that sometimes it can kind of become about we all have a culture and we all need to understand each other better. And I believe that, but I don't believe that we're on equal ground.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I feel that the conversation goes that way, you know, where people are thinking, okay, well, white people have a culture and black people have a culture, and so they just have to understand each other better. But the reality is that there's no way it's equal in terms of, you know, I write in the book, you know, Drew Hart wrote this book where he talks about, you know, he grew up, you know, studying white history, listening to white music, et cetera, and that was something that was just part of his background. Whereas his white friend didn't have to grow up listening to black music and studying black history. And he wouldn't have to do that. He wouldn't be quote unquote, not penalized, but you know, it wouldn't have a consequence to him, that white person, if he didn't study black history and understand that. So there's no way it's equal ground in that way.
Mm-hmm. Especially like when you say, who's going to be making a decision? We still have, the white community in control of the money, in control of the mm-hmm. Supreme Court, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the decisions are made. So, yeah, the numbers don't always tell the whole story. When we come back, could you share with us a little bit more detail about one of the components of the pain factor, and that is self-doubt?
Mm-hmm. Be happy to.
Okay. Our guest, ladies and gentlemen, Adrian Pei, and I will be right back as we discuss some powerful life principles, powerful realities regarding the minority experience in just a few.